Scripture for this morning is taken in two passages, one in the Old Testament from Hosea chapter 1, verses 2 to 3, and then chapter 3, verses 1 to 5, and then reading over in the Gospel of Luke chapter 1. So first in Hosea chapter 1, verses 2 to 3. When the Lord began to speak through Hosea, the Lord said to him, "Go, take to yourself an adulterous wife and children on unfaithfulness, because the land is guilty of the vilest adultery in departing from the Lord." So he married Gomer, daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a son. Reading over in chapter 3. The Lord said to me, "Go, show your love to your wife again, though she is loved by another and is adulterous. Love her as the Lord loves the Israelites, though they turn to other gods and love the sacred raisin cakes." So I bought her for 15 shekels of silver and about a homer and a lethek of barley. Then I told her, "You are to live with me many days. You must not be a prostitute or be intimate with any other man, and I will live with you. For the Israelites will live many days without king or prince, without sacrifice or sacred stones, without ephod or idol. Afterward, the Israelites will return and seek the Lord their God and David their king. They will come trembling to the Lord and to his blessings in the last days." Jumping over to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, beginning in verse 39. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, and all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months, and then returned home. May God add his blessing and his understanding to the reading of his holy word. I want to share a video today. Need help, Mick? Why don't we slide it over?
Christmas time was approaching.
A couple things I want to see. It's nice to look this way, isn't it? A little different today. We are in a time of Advent when we remember that it's not our birthday, it's Jesus' birthday. And as we've been thinking through that, we've been thinking about God's great love for us in sending Jesus. We've asked us to be thinking about a gift this Christmas. It's interesting, there's many requests out there, many things happening. But we're asking you to prayerfully consider as a family of giving a special gift to Hurricane Relief. You can see in the bulletin already a number of gifts have already been given. Those gifts, next week we're going to have a little Jesus' wish list, what Jesus wants for his birthday. But we're looking at gift cards or even financial donations will turn into gift cards. Tomorrow night some of the leaders are meeting here to determine how we can best utilize the funds that have come in and those we hope that are coming in to help those in need the best way we can. So
So please pray for the leaders, and please pray as to what that gift may be as we focus not on our birthday, but Jesus' birthday. Think you got it now, guys?
Shoppers choosing their presents, people filling the mall, children waiting for Santa with excitement and glee. Little boy tucked my sweater, looked up and asked me, where's the line to see Jesus? Is he here at the store? If Christmas time is his birthday, then why don't we see more? As I stood in amazement at this message
That was an appropriate song as we move through Advent. In your notes today, the actual words are in the back of that, if you noticed that or not, for that song. Life is not about staying safe and living comfortably. The call to follow Jesus is a call to give our lives to Him, to join in God's mission, which is to heal people's souls in the world. We were never promised a reward in this life. The rewards that actually do come are not monetary as much as they are the joy and the peace that we experience when we serve in a spirit of Christ. That's why we can pray with Mary. We can say, I'm your servant. Regardless of what comes my way, let it be done to me according to your will, even when the angel disappears. Even in the midst of the unexpected, as we said last week, the messy, the devastating, we can still fully expect God to show up. Doesn't matter what problems we encounter from day to day. Doesn't matter how bad the economy may be, our health may be, spiritual situation is, God is there. God shows up. That's what Christmas is all about. In the midst of the mess, God shows up. We've been thinking about Christmas is not our birthday, it's Jesus' birthday. God shows up. Well, why? Why does God show up? He shows up because He loves you and He loves me. Now, we've heard that. Some of us have heard that for years. God loves you. God loves me. God's love is so deep and so pure that God is able to look past poor decisions that we've made, bad choices, our own imperfections, and He loves us anyway. God's love is beyond explanation. It's beyond our understanding. It's so deep, it almost feels like it's inappropriate, that we know we don't deserve it. It's not correct. In fact, in our current terminology, we might say it's even politically incorrect. It's scandalous that we are so totally unworthy of God's love, and yet God loves you. God loves me. One of the scriptures we chose today to look at was from Hosea. I don't know the last time anybody read through Hosea. It's not one of those prophet books that we read through. The story is of the prophet Hosea and his unfaithful wife Gomer. Gomer represents the Israelites and by extension each of us. Hosea is told by God to go to his cheating wife and essentially buy her back, take her home, and love her in spite of her unfaithfulness. Now, throughout the course of human history, God has come to get His unfaithful people and to buy us back, to love us anyway. That's how deep God's love is. It's scandalous. Now put yourself, for a moment, even emotionally, in Hosea's shoes. Let me try to paint this picture. Your spouse is living with someone else. They've committed multiple adulteries. They show no interest in you. They've not even talking to you. They've not asked you to come and get her out of this situation. This kind of self-imposed slavery. I mean, who in their right mind would go and purchase somebody who is not even repenting and bring them back home? Allow her, encourage her, want her to be the mother of your children again. Love her as God loves Israel. That's beyond the scope of our imagination. Yet this scandalous biblical account testifies to the outrageous, the pursuing love of God for each of us, for this broken world. This is kind of the desanitized version of the Christmas story. God loves us and wants us, even while we're under the influence of unworthy lovers. Even when we allow greed and selfishness and ambition and deceit to reign in us, God loves us anyway. In fact, God buys us back. He buys us back from evil. He buys us back from hell. He buys us back from Satan with the shed blood of Jesus on the cross. Do we understand? Can our minds comprehend the magnitude of this kind of love? How much love God has for us, as we're unworthy. Hosea was God's prophet in the northern kingdom of Israel, during a time when there was peace and there was prosperity. But the Israelites were going through the motions. They were going through the motions of acknowledging God. They were going through the ritual of things, of being the people of God. But they started to feel like they didn't need God because of all the things that they had. They'd lost their passion for God. That usually doesn't show up until we're in a crisis or realize we need God's help. But that's history, isn't it? That doesn't happen today.
In the Gospel of Luke this morning, Mary had every reason to feel low about herself. She's young. She's unmarried. She's pregnant. Imagine all the layers of things that were running through her mind and her heart at this time. And don't forget the possible ramifications legally that she could be stoned to death. The Greek word used in Mary's song to describe her life situation, when she says, I'm in a humble state. I am humble. That means low in situation, poor, depressed. But in the midst of that, Mary hung on through all of this because of the promise of God, holding tightly to those words from the angel that said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." So from the depths of her being, we hear Mary's hope and her faith when she says, "My soul glorifies, my soul magnifies the Lord." Can we say that this morning? Can we say that in our own lives? That when things are low, when we're depressed, when we're frustrated, when we're poor, when we're lonely, no matter what's going on through our lives, my soul glorifies the Lord. The story of Christmas shows us so clearly how God's way is not our way. I think sometimes people kind of just ignore people like Mary. People whose lives are filled with humiliation and scandal, but God works in unexpected places and in unexpected ways. God loves us no matter what our lives are like. And God desires and God can do great things through us. Now, it's interesting, when I prepared this message, which was a while ago, there is a truth that comes out in all the things we talk about, and that we know very well. And the truth simply is this: God works good out of seemingly bad situations. Friends, I want you to know that was true when I wrote those words down over a month ago. And those words were true last week. Those words are true today. And those words will be true tomorrow. Let's always remember that. Do we trust God with our lives? To believe that God really does love us and wants our love in return, no matter what kind of mess we find ourselves in. That's the scandalous love that we testify and witness to when we tell others, when we profess faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. That's what we're saying. That's the kind of love we've experienced. That's the love we're professing. Mary's soul glorified the Lord. That means other people saw something in Mary. Other people saw what was happening in Mary. That means in the presence of other people, Mary made God's love visible. So I could ask that question. Is our presence as a church, in the community, and as individuals making God visible to the people we come in contact with? Do people know Jesus better because they know you? You know, when Jesus does return, there's going to be a major role reversal. The Bible says that God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. And when Jesus returns, those who've been despised and insulted will be exalted, and those who've been rich and self-consumed will end up poor, the Bible tells us. You know what? We can live in that kind of scandalous love now. When we see ourselves and other people through the lens of that reversal, when we know it's coming, and rather than condemning ourselves and others, we offer to others love and support and encouragement. When Mary faced the shocking, confusing news of her pregnancy, she immediately sought out wise and godly counsel. She went to her older cousin, Elizabeth. Now, there's no doubt that Mary would be hit with a lot of criticism and ostracism from the community. She didn't need more negativity. She needed encouragement, and she knew where to go for that encouragement. And the first word she hears from Elizabeth, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear." Friends, as a church, we need to be encouraging one another in God's love. Let's be promise bearers for one another. Let's remind each other of God's miraculous, scandalous way of reversing the tide. And just like Elizabeth did when she essentially said, don't stop, Mary, don't quit. In time, people will honor you. They will call you blessed in time. We all need that kind of encouragement.
In the book of Hosea, we find out, actually we don't find out, whether Gomer remained faithful or not to Hosea. The last we hear is that Hosea bought her back for 15 shekels, some barley, and some wine. He told his wife that she had to stay with him for a certain number of days, again to symbolize Israel's time in exile. Hosea had no way of knowing whether his wife would remain faithful to him. But we do get a little bit of hope in the midst of chapter 3, verse 5, when we read these words. Afterward, the Israelites will return and seek the Lord their God. They will come trembling to the Lord and to His blessings in the last days. It's said that broken people more easily recognize their need for a Savior. Are you broken this morning? Do you feel as if you're wandering alone in the world? Do you think that you have sinned too much to be loved by God? If you do, know this, that God is offering you forgiveness. God is pursuing a relationship with you. And even though we don't deserve it, God shows His mercy. God sent His Son to show us a way, the way to go home. Jesus came as a baby. In the midst of scandalous circumstances, in order to save us, to redeem us, to restore broken places and broken hearts. That's the love we celebrate at Christmas. And that's the love God has called us to share with others. Will you share it? Would you bow with me in prayer? Lord God, it's hard for us to imagine Hosea's willingness to go and remarry, rejoin Gomer. Sounds crazy. It doesn't make sense. It's not logical. Yet, God, that's the same love that You show us. It's beyond logic. It's unconditional. We thank You, God, today for Your unconditional love, and we pray, Lord, that we might be able to have that kind of love for others. There are some, God, even now, we're thinking in our lives, because of things that they've done to us, because of things that they've said to us, they are hard to love. Lord God, we thank You that in the midst of our sin, in the midst of our selfishness and our greed, You have loved us. And we acknowledge, God, as well, that You love them. You love everyone. Help us show others Your love. We ask all this in the name of Christ. And all God's people said, Amen.